and in professional sports. That music means it's time for music break. It is now 6 o'clock here on this Monday night here on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. Coming up next, it is time to have a conversation. A brutal conversation on a topic that I have been chomping at the bits to talk about. And we're going to have that conversation. Coming up next, right here. On the Shukri Wright Show, with yours truly, Shukri Wright, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Hour number two of the program coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
You.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to tune in on this Monday evening wherever you are. Appreciate it as always as we are barreling down towards the holidays. And as I said at the beginning of the program, and it's really hard to believe that we are just 5 days away from Christmas and as well as 10 days away from New Year's Eve. No, not 10 days, rather 11 days away from New Year's Eve and that whole shebang. And as always, if you want to call in, you can at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Now, there was a conversation that I kind of started on Twitter that I actually want to bring to the airwaves because we have to talk about this. Now, I get that baseball is currently on its expected cycle of self-implosion and self-destruction, and that's okay. That's completely, totally okay because I'm all here for it at this point. I really am. I am so here for it, it's not even funny. I'm so here for it that at this point, baseball has given me absolutely no other choice but to have conversations that we need to have. I mean, right now, there isn't really much of an offseason with the baseball lockout. But this is what we do have, though. What we do have is Hall of Fame voting. And what I'm about to talk about is going to ruffle quite a few feathers. And that's the point of the radio program, is to ruffle those feathers. Entertain you. Have these conversations that needs to be had. And we're going to have those conversations starting now. Because I'm at a point now where I am truly, and I do mean truly, fed up. That we're basically skipping around the elephant in the room. I'm not doing that anymore. Call in at 855-915-WMFO. That's the number to call in. 855-915-9636 is the number to get a hold of me. So, what is the elephant in the room? The elephant in the room, if you ask me, is Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds and the question surrounding his candidacy for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Is he a Hall of Famer or not? It's time to have that conversation. So if you're just tuning into the show, if you're just, you know, getting settled in, if you're just getting in the car or something, and you're just listening to the program, I am going to have that conversation with you and for you. See, is baseball hypocritical? Is baseball filled with two-faced, double-standard individuals? Yes. Oh, absolutely. Don't kid yourself. They absolutely are. So much so that I personally cannot believe that after nearly, and I do mean nearly, 15 years, we're still having this conversation. And the reason why this conversation has intensified is because we are now at that final chance of coming down to the very last opportunities for one Barry Bonds to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. There are other baseball candidates who are up for election into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year. But none of them, and I do mean none of them, are as polarizing as Barry Bonds. None of them are. And here's the thing that I find absolutely astounding, is that a man with 762 home runs is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame because he was suspected of taking PEDs. Let me make something abundantly clear. He never tested positive for PEDs. That's the truth. He never tested positive for taking illegal substances. He was accused. There's a difference. Barry Bonds was accused of taking performance-enhancing drugs. Rafael Palmeiro took performance-enhancing drugs. Alex Rodriguez took and got caught taking performance-enhancing drugs. Barry Bonds never, and I do mean never, took performance-enhancing drugs. He never got caught. We're just going based on assumption, right? Now, in America, we supposedly as a nation live by the rule of everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Supposedly, right? What about Barry Bonds? He's innocent, right? Did he take PEDs? Did he get caught? Did he test positives? No. The answer to all of that is N-O. No, he did not. Meanwhile, I'm willing to honestly bet there are players who did take PEDs who are already in the Hall of Fame. There's a couple. Now, I'm not going to sit here and make false accusations on the air because I refuse to get sued for libel. I'm not even going to go down that route. But what I will say is this. What I will say is that for someone who has never tested positives for taking steroids or PEDs and only has been accused, and the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame right now, really, and I do mean really, is embarrassing to the game. Why is it embarrassing to the game? Because one, I understand that this man was a complete dink and a jerk to the media in San Francisco and even to national beat baseball writers. I get that. I'm not naive. I watched that man play from basically when I was 10 years old on to the end of his career. I'm not naive. I'm very much well aware of what he did and how he treated the media. Now, if you want to sit here and tell me that Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame yet because of his treatment of the media, I got a bone to pick with you. And the bone is, you're going to choose that reason to keep someone out of the Hall of Fame. Not that he gambled on the game, which he hasn't done. He never tested positive for taking steroids or PEDs. So, based on that alone, he's innocent. I just find it to be absolutely comical, hilarious, hypocritical of a sport that I love, that your Hall of Fame does not have the all-time home run king in there. What about the character clause that is in the Hall of Fame criteria? Oh, really? Okay. Because, I mean, if we're going to be completely honest, the Baseball Hall of Fame is full of bigots and racists. If we're going to be completely transparent, it is filled with men who beat on their wives or have been accused of domestic abuse. So, are we trying to play the role of perfect and perpetual hypocrisy as a way to sift through the candidates of those who deserve to be in the Hall of Fame or we're just going to basically judge them on what they did on the field, on based on what we do know, not based on what we think, because we're basically assuming. We are assuming that Barry Bonds took steroids. We don't know if he did. I mean, he never failed a drug test. If anybody has any points that they want to counter with that, please do that by bringing forth evidence. Not opinions, not emotional feelings, but rather your honest, factually based information. That's what I'm asking for. I don't think that's a huge ask. If anything, I think it's a very fair ask if we're going to have this honest conversation. Because the thing that I look at is this. We get so wrapped up. We get so emotionally charged when someone strikes a chord and decides that they want to bring emotions into it, that we completely ignore the facts and focus on what we already think and believe based on confirmation bias. That's the baseball Hall of Fame writers and the people who wrote on players getting into the Hall of Fame. That's what they do. And as fans, we're guilty of doing the very same thing. Whether you openly admit it or not, you're guilty of it. Which is why I said, we're going to have a difficult conversation. This is just only the beginning. If you want to call in, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. That's the number to call in if you want to get a hold of me to talk about what I'm talking about now in terms of Barry Bonds Hall of Fame candidacy. Because let's be honest, we have some extremely interesting names that are eligible for induction this season. If there is going to be a baseball season, of course. I'm talking about including on that list, Curt Schilling. Do I personally like the guy? No. But that's not going to stop me from admitting that Curt Schilling is absolutely deserving to be in the Hall of Fame based on what he did on the field. Do I like his politics? No bleeping way. I don't. But that's not going to get in the way of admitting that that guy is a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. Go look at his resume. He is one of the greatest big game pitchers in Major League history. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was an ace among aces in the game in the National League for an extended period of time. And of course, he was a co-ace of that 2004 Boston Red Sox team along with Pedro Martinez. So yeah, we all know about the checkered reputation and past of Curt Schilling. We're all well aware of that. But I wholeheartedly believe, if we're going to be completely honest, Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame. So for me, that's two right there. Barry Bonds and Curt Schilling, who should be in the Hall of Fame. This is part of the reason why I am really beginning to believe and think and feel that the Baseball Hall of Fame writers are a bunch of jokes. They are a bunch of hypocritical jokes. Because to whom are we applying this character clause to? Like, what are we doing here? And I do mean that sincerely. What are we doing here as baseball fans? Barry Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling belongs in the Hall of Fame. And if I'm missing out anyone else who's on this year's ballot, who you think should be in the Hall of Fame. Call me at 855-915-9636. Again, 855-915-9636. Let's pick up on this topic on the other side of the break. Coming up next, who else should be on the Baseball Hall of Fame, should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame that isn't already, that is currently on the ballot? That and much more coming up next on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show with yours truly, Shukri Wright, on 91.5 FM, WMFO and Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to, poof, guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Let's live. I love you. Back here on MLB Tonight, Brian Kenny and Harold Reynolds. This is Hall of Fame voting season. The writers have the ballots now. And this first-year class, it's very interesting. It's very deep. Obviously, at the very top, you have Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz. They're kind of their own issue. Maybe A-Rod's his own issue. David Ortiz is his own issue. And then you've got a bunch of players, Harold, who, like Ryan Howard, Tim Lincecum, Jimmy Rollins, Mark Teixeira. These were great players. Some of these guys were the best players in their leagues, like Lincecum's case, for like 2 years, not long enough. For Teixeira, it's 8 years. For Ryan Howard, it's only 6 years. So the peak is small, but there's some great players on this list. By the way, Jonathan Papelbon and Joe Nathan are two of the greatest relief pitchers in history. You can look it up. I'm not just throwing that out there. Yep. In Major League history, they're some of the greatest like run suppressors of all time. So I think they deserve a lot of looking beyond the big guys. But let's start with the big guys. A-Rod. Hmm. Let's start A-Rod. What do the voters do with him?
I think he doesn't get in now, obviously. I think a lot of it has to do with what happens with Bonds and Clemens. And if they get in, obviously Alex is going to get in. You know, he's got the, obviously, the steroid case, so to speak, against him. When you start to look back at the numbers are clearly there. That's not even a...
He's an all-time great. There's no question. So, but now he also, he was banned for a season. It's not, with Bonds and Clemens, there was no failed test. There's a lot more, but there's no failed test.
And even though Bonds and Clemens did not fail test and were not banned for a season, they've been treated that way.
True.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. History has done that to them. We'll see what that happens. We'll move on.
Last year on the ballot for Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Sammy Sosa, by the way, and Curt Schilling, who's kind of a separate case. Hmm. But Sammy Sosa failed the survey testing, which was never supposed to get out in 2003. So did David Ortiz, yet he's viewed differently than Alex Rodriguez. Thoughts on Ortiz and what the voters do with him?
Ortiz is interesting because he was a revered personality. Alex was a lightning rod. So you end up having, a lot of this comes down to personality. It really does, how you were viewed there. David Ortiz is one of the great all-time ambassadors for the sport when people look at it.
And clutch hitters.
And he was a clutch hitter, and he had all the numbers and everything else. I think sometimes you look at that and you go, oh, really? There was a problem here? I think people might move that on. I don't think he gets in right away. I think it's almost like the Roberto Alomar, we're going to hold you back as punishment. And then you're going to get your chance to get in. But here's what I see with the rest of this group, Brian. It comes down to really the whole group here. We're in this cross section. How will you be judged by what numbers, what metrics, what era are you going to judge them by? Mm. Is it by they're still playing by the old school? Batting average, home runs, RBIs. That was your production.
Well, Ryan judgment. Howard does well, right.
But
right.
Look at what Tim Raines did. And you're a big part of Tim Raines is in the Hall of Fame. Mm. You went back and said, hold it, let's look at his body of work. Let me use the new numbers to explain to you Tim Raines. Yep. I think there's a case to be made with a lot of these guys if you go back and look at the new numbers and say, let me explain this. So I think over time, we might see some of these guys get in.
Jimmy Rollins benefits from the new math, let's call it that way. Because when you're a speed and a glove guy, those are the things, well, we like RBIs. That was Ryan Howard. The speed and the glove, that should benefit Jimmy Rollins. Jimmy Rollins was a 5-win player. That's 5 WAR. Harold isn't interested in that. 5 WAR over 5 years. If you do that for 10 years, you're a Hall of Famer. He did it for 5. He's more like a 4-win player going out. But I think he's a strong candidate.
I think you can also, with Jimmy Rollins, doing their ballpark adjusted.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. That was Brian Kenny and Harold Reynolds talking on MLB Network on MLB Tonight, courtesy of that audio clip in which they were talking about the first year Hall of Fame newcomers for the Hall of Fame ballot. And on the list I have here in front of me, Carl Crawford, Prince Fielder, Ryan Howard, Justin Morneau, Joe Nathan, David Ortiz, Tim Lincecum, Jonathan Papelbon, Jake Peavy, A.J. Pierzynski, Alex Rodriguez, Jimmy Rollins, and Mark Teixeira. Those are the first-year candidates on the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, Mark Teixeira, absolutely, I think, should get into the Hall of Fame. Would it happen this year? No. I doubt it. But let's start with the lightning rod names that was talked about in that clip. We talked about David Ortiz. We talked about Alex Rodriguez. We talked about We talked about a little bit about Ryan Howard in the clip, as you heard. You know, like Ryan Howard, like he had the home runs and the RBIs, especially during a stretch playing for the Phillies, in which that he was the big bat in the middle of those Phillies teams, in the middle of those Phillies lineups that were dominant between 2007 and 2011. But we're going to talk about A-Rod and David Ortiz, because I'm a big believer that if you are going to put in David Ortiz, you have to put in Alex Rodriguez. I mean, that's just being fair. If you're going to put in Alex Rodriguez, you got to put in David Ortiz. Because the way I look at it is both guys were suspected of taking PEDs. Except that one guy actually did. He got caught taking PEDs. David Ortiz, he never got caught, but as you heard, he was among the players who failed that 2003 survey testing that was never supposed to be released to the general public. So with that being said, when you take all of that into consideration, do you still view David Ortiz as a Hall of Famer? That's my question to you. And the phone number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Because that is a conversation that we have to have. Now, last segment, I talked about on Barry Bonds. I talked about him extensively. This segment, I want to take two players who were on the first year candidate ballot for the Hall of Fame. Two players. I want to talk about A-Rod and David Ortiz. Because at this moment in time, I'm not going to talk about this being a Yankee versus Red Sox thing or anything like that. That's not what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about A-Rod and Ortiz. How are they both viewed? Why is one likelier to get into the Hall of Fame while the other will either have to wait or they won't get in at all? Let's start with David Ortiz. David Ortiz, as you heard Harold Reynolds say, he is one of the great ambassadors that the baseball has ever had. And we all know about the work that he does with Fox Sports as part of its Major League Baseball coverage. We all know. We see him like being the media darling that he is. And even when he was playing for the Red Sox, yeah, he had his moments, but by and large part, that man was absolutely revered here in New England. So I think that works in his favor. Perception. I talked about Barry Bonds in the last segment, how the guy was a complete dink to the media in San Francisco and as well to the national baseball media members as well. He was. Now, let's talk about David Ortiz, the polar opposite. He was very brutally honest. He was straightforward with the media. He didn't hold punches. He wasn't rude. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't a jackwagon. Still is a very opinionated man to this day. But yet the public perception of Barry Bonds versus David Ortiz could not be more opposite than what they are. With the exception of David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez, which I'm about to get to in just a moment. Now, let's talk about Alex Rodriguez. I'm going to come back to David Ortiz in just a moment. Alex Rodriguez. Again, we know the body of work. 3,000 hits, 696 home runs. We all know the body of work that he's done based on numbers. He got banned from baseball for a year for taking PEDs, getting caught and getting tested positive for PEDs. He's admitted to taking PEDs in 2000, I think between 2001 and 2003 when he was with the Texas Rangers. So we know about the numbers. But the truth is baseball really going to forgive A-Rod for taking PEDs and so forth? Is that what's going to happen here? A-Rod was absolutely hated by the media, both in New York and nationally. Especially, let's go back to 2013, shall we? Because I seem to remember that A-Rod was absolutely despised. He was despised by the media in New York. He was despised throughout baseball because we all remember what he did, how many people he tried to throw under the bus and so forth publicly. And the reality is this. With A-Rod, because of public perception, not so much his relationship with the media. The truth is, this is a guy who may never get in. A-Rod took PEDs. Ortiz failed a 2003 player survey testing and so forth. But I do wonder, how much will they, the baseball writers of America, hold that against David Ortiz? And I wonder if that's something that you, the fans, even think about. Or if you, the fans, are having this kind of conversation throughout this offseason going into the voting next season. Because let me tell you something, folks. I don't want to hear it come next month when we sit here and we talk about the voting. Who's getting in? Who's not getting in? When it comes to the day of the announcement of the Hall of Fame class of 2022. I don't want to hear it about just the fact that, oh, well, Ortiz is an icon in Boston. He should automatically get in. You and I know that there are more complicated moving parts to this than just Ortiz being an icon in Boston and New England. As we all know. And that's why we're having that discussion now. Because as much as he means to this region, he does have that question mark surrounding his Hall of Fame candidacy because of the PED stuff. And I think it's a very fair and a very legitimate conversation that we need to have. If you got any thoughts, call me, 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. My question to you is this. Between A-Rod and David Ortiz, which player do you think has a more likelier chance to get into the Hall of Fame on their first try? A-Rod or Ortiz? I think it's Ortiz. And I really do think that his relationship with the media has a lot to do with it. And of course, being a media member, I think will play a role in it. But would it play a huge role? No, it plays some role to it. But would it be a determining factor? Absolutely not. No, it won't be. But I do think it's a question and it's a topic that is worth discussing. Especially as we heading towards the end of the month. And then when January returns, you and I know that's when the Hall of Fame talk and discussion heats up around baseball. And then the announcement coming about a month from now. I just think it's something that's going to be worth talking about and discussing. And I think that we are going to have that discussion. We're going to have that discussion up to the day that they announce the Hall of Fame class. Whether Ortiz gets in on his first try or not, that remains to be seen. But I do think that it is going to be something worth discussing and having an opportunity to really take a step back and to think about heavily, especially as we move towards the announcement coming up in about a month from now. It's now 6:46 p.m. Eastern Time. We are going to take a break. Coming up next, final thoughts for you right here on the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Strictly Right Show with yours truly, Strictly Right, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio.
How you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Kisses of the sun were sweet, I didn't blink, I let it in my eyes. Like an exotic drink, the radio playing songs that I have never heard, I don't know what to say. Oh, not another word, just la 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 la.
Welcome back to the Shukri Reich Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tuss Free Farm Radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. We got a couple of more minutes left to wrap up this program on this Monday evening. I want to thank all of you who have been listening to this program on a weekly basis. As next Monday, it just occurred to me that next Monday is going to be the last program of 2021. So that's going to be really interesting, to say the least. And, you know, in these last 3 months, and this is going to take me directly into final thoughts, as these last 3 months have been absolutely a whirlwind, to say the least. Being back in studio for the first time since the pandemic began back on March 12th. Being back in studio, you know, this past September, and now, like wrapping up 2021, next Monday night, December 27th, is going to be the last show of 2021, and it's definitely been a blast for sure. And it's hard to believe that these 3 months have gone by, and it's been roughly 2.5 years I've been here with 91.5 FM WMFO. Which is really a tremendous achievement in its own right. So I'm very much grateful for all of the blessings that I've received in my life, but especially none more bigger than getting the opportunity back in July of 2019 to host my own sports talk radio show on these airwaves. So I'll be definitely reflecting on that, and as well as 2021, the year that has been. And, you know, it's going to be a fun show next Monday night, as that is going to be the last program of 2021. The next show after that will be in 2022, after the new year. I can't wait, and it's gonna be good. It's gonna be a really good one. So coming up next, after this show concludes, is going to be Black Stripes to White Keys. It's going to be there's gonna be a fill-in host that's gonna be taking over that program, as a lot of the college hosts are away on winter break, as winter break has begun. So before I sign off, I simply want to say thank you to all of you who have listened and have been listening to this program. Sincerely appreciate it. And I will talk with you next Monday night, final show of 2021. You have been listening to The Shukri Wright Show with yours truly, Shukri Wright, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio. I'll talk to you again next Monday night. Good night, everybody.
Force of you is mesmerizing. You drag me down with your heaviness. I lose my breath but dive deeper. Just the thought of you, it can't be as it is. Every day I try to let go, but boomerang, you always come back around. When I'm around you, I lose me. The weight of you is holding me down.